At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Don't let anyone tell you that Feast Week ends on Thanksgiving. We've got college basketball going on during the day today, including an A-10 foe. George Washington just advanced to a 7-2 record with a win over Army, 84-70. That win came at West Point for their 11 a.m. basketball game this morning. As college hoops continues today and VCU returns home, they will play Friday against Samford. It's 1 o'clock, which means it's time to open up the phone lines here on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for
the phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
All right, Jay Money. You're taking over here officially on AWOD Radio from Stub, and I have not given you your first homework assignment yet.
Uh-oh.
This will be for both of us. Do you have access to HBO?
I sure do.
Is it Max now, or did they go back to HBO? I actually have no idea.
They had a plus in there somewhere at some point. I don't even know. It's HBO for now.
Tonight, HBO, Lights, Camera, Commanders. Washington will make their Hard Knocks debut. That also will include your New York Giants, the Eagles, and the Cowboys as the HBO series hits home. We'll step into the spotlight with its NFC East peers tonight. This is going to be good. And here's Tom Shad's headline on the Washington Post. It says, the Washington Commanders first noticed the cameras along the walls of the meeting rooms when they returned from their bye week. They saw the trailer popped up next to the practice field, and then the NFL Films camera crews started roaming the sidelines. For the first time ever, Hard Knocks had come to Washington. Now, this is not fully 100% true. Hard Knocks actually came to Richmond and filmed an episode when Washington was here battling with the Houston Texans. They actually may have come to Richmond also when, or at least NFL Films did, when Tom Brady was here with the New England Patriots. But do you know the Hard Knocks moment that's famous from the Texans?
I do not.
You know DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, of course.
And D'Angelo Hall. They were talking smack on the sidelines. Hall got burnt. Hopkins made the catch. Hall tore up his Achilles in Richmond. Yeah, that was wild. So Hard Knocks Behind the Scenes will premiere tonight, 9 p.m. on HBO. It will run through the remainder of the season. You'll have access to Jaden Daniels and his recovery, Coach Dan Quinn, and the key Washington Commanders. This is going to be a good one. Now, this is the fifth time they have done an in-season series. Have you seen the in-season before?
I haven't seen the in-season. I usually only watch the preseason stuff.
The in-season, was it last year? It was like Mike Tomlin. I think it was the Ravens, and that was excellent. Because I think the coolest moment was Mike Tomlin doesn't get enough credit for the type of coach he is. And, I mean, I love I love Pittsburgh fans for their passion. They all call in and say fire Mike Tomlin, mm-hmm. and it's so stupid. But in the Hard Knocks of the Steelers last year, you saw Tomlin talking to, it was like Highsmith or one of his backup edge rushers, not TJ Watt. And he was telling him, there's going to be an opportunity here for you to make a play and get a sack fumble. And he was like talking about it all week long. They showed it in meetings rooms, and then they showed the game, and he actually got it. And it was like, and that's why these are so cool with the NFL, because football at the highest level really is like rocket science. When you listen to, you know, some of the best break it down, like a Tom Brady, or even like Kurt Benkirk, who went to, I think, UVA, played, he does a great job. There's so many nuances. There's so many things that you just don't see with the naked eye that makes the NFL so intriguing. And so I've always been a fan of Hard Knocks, and you're telling me they're covering my favorite team? Sign me up. And I think it'll start with that Sunday night game against the Broncos. Like, the editing also. How do they turn this out, right?
It's impressive. It's impressive. Did they start this week? Is it anything
beforehand? It said it started with... it says that they noticed the cameras in the meeting rooms when they returned from the bye. And I think this makes sense from the way they did it last year. They want to get the stretch run of the season. We talked about this a few weeks ago. What's unfortunate is the Eagles are going to probably get the most screen time, then the Cowboys, then the Giants with Jackson Dart, then Washington, given the fact. Because I think if we had Jaden Daniels and a better record, it would have been all about Washington. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. I think what's interesting is there's still talk about wide receiver with Brandon Ayuk, and we were talking about Treylon Burks, but there has to be a conversation about the guys that are younger, Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane, because can we go into next season and our five wide receivers are Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, Treylon Burks, Jalen Lane, Luke McCaffrey? Is that good enough from what you've seen this season? You're depending on development of Luke McCaffrey, development of Jalen Lane, health of the other guys, right? I mean, Burks has struggled to stay healthy. McLaurin this year, maybe it's just a one-year thing, but they say when a receiver hits 30, it becomes more and more hard, difficult to stay on the field. And then the Deebo thing is just very interesting because, like, I would have traded Deebo at the trade deadline because I think he's going to get overpaid next year. And I don't want Washington to overpay him. I would love him back. I just don't know if the contract numbers are going to work out because as difficult as it was to work things out with Terry McLaurin, I think it might be even harder with a Deebo Samuel who... probably would argue he's done more with his career than Terry McLaurin.
But he's not going to get $30 million. I don't
see... He's not going to get 30, but he's going to get upper 20s.
You could... I think you could get him with, like, the Cortland Sutton contract. What was that, like, 23 a year? I think you could get him for that.
Do you want him for 3 years, though? Like, I don't know. I mean, I would like him back if it works out, right? That's in Adam Peters we trust kind of situation. But we'll see how Burks plays at the end of the season. That also could be a situation where maybe you go with Burks and McLaurin and you draft a wide receiver in the second round to go along with Lane and McCaffrey. I don't really see a scenario that Noah Brown comes back for another season. I think and there was a report that he might not play another game this season, which is just incredible because I think he's only played two at the most. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Latest on Jaden Daniels, right? So we talked about this before. Dislocated elbow. His return to play has been slow but steady progress, but he has not been cleared for contact. And that's the big thing right there, because this is a contact injury that feels like it could get worse if he got hit hard on it or fell on it strong. And I don't think there's a chance he plays in Minnesota. And I think there's also a chance, as Washington's, you know, officially becomes eliminated at the end of this weekend, right, that maybe they just decide to shut him down. That's not my decision. I think this front office is going to be super cautious because they know worst case scenario, devastating injury, they would get fired. Just like I think Brian Daboll lost his job because Jackson Dart didn't stay healthy. I almost guarantee you, if Jaden Daniels, knock on wood, came back and had a serious injury, that Dan Quinn would lose his job. And I don't want that to happen. And that's why I think they're going to be very cautious about bringing him back. Do they wait even maybe another week and then maybe bring him back for December 20th and he plays the final three games of the season? That way, you know, the question is, how long does it take to fully heal from a dislocated elbow? You know, at first it was, all right, it's 2 weeks to get back to being able to throw and run, but how many more weeks until he can land on that elbow and he feels confident that he can bounce right back up? I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Anywhere you get your apps at, AUDACY. That's AUDACY. And of course, you could take the show with you on the go. You could pause the show, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off on that free Odyssey app. The theme of today's show is playoffs. What playoffs? We're not just talking playoffs. Yeah, we're talking NFL and college football playoffs. We'll get to the college football playoffs later today, as that will be revealed tonight, Tuesday night on ESPN. But right now, we look around the National Football League at the playoff picture on AWOD Radio. Now, the one seed in the AFC, the New England Patriots. How confident are we the New England Patriots are going to finish out as the one seed in the AFC? Like, they are the hottest team in football right now. They are on the biggest win streak of any team in the NFL. And you know what? We're not going to see them this weekend because they will be on a bye. So they will probably stay in first place for at least another week, right? And I wonder how important it's going to be, because I think it's everything for New England for them to finish with the one seed, and that was a big part of their success during the Tom Brady era as well. Just Foxborough, so tough in December and January. So It is the Patriots a half a game above the Denver Broncos. And Denver this weekend has a matchup with the Vegas Raiders. So Denver will probably be sitting at 11-2 as well at the end of this weekend's contest. I think the big question is who ends up being the division champion in Baltimore's division and Jacksonville's division. Let's start with the AFC South. All season long, Jay Money, Money was on the Colts.
That's right.
And Indiana Jones. But then Houston got them. And the Jags took advantage of the misfortune of the Indianapolis Colts to take sole possession of first place during their three-game win streak when they beat three easy opponents. Cardinals, Chargers, and the Titans. But they've got the matchup inside the division against the Colts this weekend, and that's how things will shake out who wins this game, because the Colts and the Jags will still meet twice before the end of the season, which is good news for Houston Texans fans, because I think you're hoping for a season split between those two teams, and that gives you a chance to come back and make this thing interesting here. But it feels like everything's on the line for the Texans and the Chiefs when those two teams meet this weekend. That is your Sunday night football game.
Is that one in Jacksonville or is that in
Indy? That game's in Kansas City against the Texans. So it's Chiefs-Texans, and like I said, so Houston knows that they will be tied with either Indy or Jacksonville if they win, because one of those teams will lose, right? But if they lose, you know, all of a sudden, you don't just lose a game in the division, but also you get overtaken by the Kansas City Chiefs in that wild card spot. And then we look at the Ravens division, and I think you have to say that Cincinnati's in this now because of that win and the fact that they are healthy and they're going to get T. Higgins back, and they did this last year. And the problem is their schedule last year was not as difficult. They've got Buffalo this weekend, and then they host the Baltimore Ravens. Those are going to be the two critical games for them. They finished Dolphins, Cardinals, Browns. They just can't split these two games. They have to find a way to do what they did last year and finish 9-8 from 4-8 to 9-8.
And they can probably do that too. I mean, even when they do that, they have the tiebreaker in the division, right? They've beaten the Steelers once. They've beaten the Ravens now once.
Yeah.
And they've beaten the Browns. So yeah, they've got all of those division tiebreakers. That's going to be huge for them.
Because they will officially have the tiebreaker over Baltimore if they can beat them twice next.
Yes.
And that'll be next weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that Joe Burrow's playing, I know it's only been one game, but he's back. That is so huge for them. The defense is playing a little bit better.
Defense played better. And maybe that was just one sample size, but they, you know, the offense can outscore it. They might have to do what Washington did last year, right? Your defense can give up 30 points. You just score 31 every single game. In the NFC, let me ask you, do you think Chicago will end up winning that division now?
I think that's the Packers' division. They still play twice in the next 3 weeks. So they have this week, a week off, and then they play each other again. So that's, I think, going to be what decides the division. The Packers, obviously, 2-0 against the Lions right now. That's a huge piece for them. Again, division tiebreakers are going to be big. I think the Packers take it.
Yeah, because not only do they have the tiebreaker over Detroit, but they have that tie, which is the ultimate tiebreaker over any team that meets them with the same number of wins. So, yeah, I see a path for the Packers. They have to win this weekend hosting the Chicago Bears. If they lose this one, they're really in trouble then.
Yeah, the Bears just about clinched the division with the win this week. I won't say for sure because, I mean, these teams aren't too far behind.
The Bears' schedule is just so difficult the final 3 weeks. Packers, Niners, Lions. I could see them losing those three games. And then do they miss out on the postseason?
They won't miss out on the postseason. They've got 9 wins already on the year. This is not a Bears team, even if they go 2-3 right
now.
Yeah,
because they would have the tiebreaker over Dallas. That is the difference right there. So Dallas pathway to get in is pretty much just the division, it seems like.
Yeah.
Right? Because the 7th seed right now is currently 9-4. Dallas could get to 11-5-1 if they win out. I don't see that happening. I probably see them getting to 9-7-1.
I think they could get to 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think they get to 10, and if you get to 10, with the rest of the Eagles' schedule, that I think with the tie, like you were saying, that's the tiebreaker right there.
Right, right, exactly. Is that's Dallas's path to get in. The Eagles, I see two more wins on their schedule for sure. That would get them to 10. So, yeah, Dallas at 10 would get in over them. But look at Dallas' schedule. Lions this week, Vikings next week, Chargers, Commanders, Giants. I see them with 3 wins. I don't think I see them with 4 wins to close out the season.
The Chargers one is up for grabs. Yeah. I'm willing to give them that one because the injuries that the Chargers have right now.
Yeah, but I'm going to the Christmas game, so that's the factor you're forgetting here. AWOD, miracle, Christmas miracle in Northwest Stadium, Landover, Maryland, as the Commanders take on the Cowboys. And I had a caller say on Saturday, and I agree with him, does not matter our record as long as we beat the damn Dallas Cowboys. Beating Dallas is everything for Washington. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. You know, the one team that we really haven't mentioned here is Seattle. Do you think Seattle is going to win that division? San Francisco, L.A., right there battling that with them. Seattle and L.A. have the exact same record.
And they've got to play one more time.
Yeah. Is there a way that... Yeah, I mean, that division's probably going to get 3 teams in, right?
Yeah. I mean, you just said the Niners, 9 wins, the 7 seed.
Yeah.
That's not a normal year.
So here's the thing. So either Detroit's going to miss out on the postseason, or Chicago, or Green Bay, or Seattle, San Francisco, or L.A. There's basically 6 teams for 5 spots, though. So, like, one good team is going to miss out in the NFC, and the AFC, I think it's going to play out to the point where, look, if Kansas City doesn't get in, they didn't deserve to get in. Pittsburgh doesn't get in. I almost think the NFC is stronger this year because of the parity in the top 7.
Yeah, no, the NFC West is doing a lot of carrying for us to say that. So is the NFC North. Those two divisions are doing a lot of carrying for the other two, the NFC South and the NFC East. Not too much to scoff at right now.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. From the NFL playoffs to the college football playoffs, a win in the ACC title game and UVA would be into the college football playoffs. Chris Graham from the Augusta Free Press joins us next on AWOD Radio.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. We are rocking and rolling here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. The theme of the show today is playoffs, from the NFL to the college football playoffs. A win and the Hoos are in. Who's talking UVA football every week? AWOD is. I have been locked in this season. Had the most fun Friday night of the year when I saw UVA beat Florida State from Scott Stadium. They got a much needed victory in the Commonwealth Cup against Virginia Tech. And their next opponent, a team they already beat in Duke from the ACC title game in Charlotte. Joining us right now on the Dean Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline from the Augusta Free Press, it's Chris Graham. What's up, Chris?
Adam, thanks for having me on, man.
Can you believe we're talking playoffs and UVA football?
Yeah, I didn't think it would ever happen, much less this quick. But, yeah, here we are. I mean, 10-2 and one game away. So, you know, I thought before this season this team might win 8 games, and I thought that they had the talent to do so. But I can't say I saw 10 wins.
Now, we don't want to, you know, count our chickens before they hatch, but we were arguing earlier today with Michael Phillips. Is there a team ahead of UVA right now in the college football playoff rankings that you think they could beat? I feel pretty confident against 2 teams.
Oh, you know, without even being specific, I think that because of their defense, they can beat a lot of teams. I really think that in this year's college football landscape, it feels like to me there's one team that nobody can beat, and that's Ohio State. You know, they're just head and shoulders above everybody else this year. I don't know that I feel that, you know that there's not a team out there that Virginia wouldn't have a puncher's chance against just because of the way they're playing defense, and they have been since, you know, the last part of September. So, you know, I think they can go on the road in the first round if they're matched up with an Ole Miss or a Texas Tech or a Texas A&M. They could, you know, they could get a win. I don't know about winning the whole thing, certainly, but they can go out there and get a win against, you know, one of those 5, 6, 7, or 8 seeds, depending on where they are.
Yeah, especially like a Texas Tech. Would you still take the ACC over the Big 12 conference as a whole?
You know, this year, we got Duke in the title game because of the weird tiebreaker, but we've got a lot of good teams. No great team, but we've got a lot of really good teams, and that's probably the situation out there in the Big 12. It's just, you know, that, you know, their top couple of teams were able to, you know, maybe they didn't have the depth that the ACC has, but their top couple of teams are pretty good. But, yeah, the ACC's got depth. I mean, we had 5 teams tied for second place, so there's a lot of good football being played. I'm not necessarily great football, but, yeah, I'd take the ACC.
So let's go back to the UVA win from a few weeks ago when they beat Duke, right? Beat Duke, beat down Duke in Duke, then had the week off, regrouped, and took down Virginia Tech at home. What did you notice from that game that you think Duke will maybe try to counter, or some things that UVA will try to do successfully again?
Yeah, Duke's got to regame plan everything, I would say. Virginia outgained Duke 540 to 265. A lot of that 265 was garbage stuff in the second half when Virginia was up big. You know, Darius Mensa, the quarterback who had a great year against everybody else, when that game was, so to speak, on the line, 5 of 11 for just 26 yards in the first half. He got sacked 4 times. They only ran for 43 yards in that game. So, you know, it's almost like I don't know what Virginia is going to be able to game plan and say that, you know, Duke's trends are going to lead in this direction, because Duke's going to have to scrap everything and start over as far as Virginia, them game planning for Virginia is concerned. You know, Mensa is not the most mobile quarterback, and what Virginia did well was they kept him in the pocket. Those sacks were largely, coverage sacks. And yeah. So, you know, Virginia's got a great secondary. They've got a very deep defensive line. They can get pressure on the quarterback. When they took the run away from Duke, that made them one-dimensional, and that one-dimension wasn't very good. So, yeah, I don't know. Virginia can game plan and say we know their tendencies, but Duke's going to Duke's going to have to start from scratch as far as their game plan is concerned.
Yeah, should be a good coaching battle as well. I think it's going to come down to UVA's defense that has been just really underrated all season long and has stepped up in the big moments, like the safety against Washington State, the overtime against Florida State there. That's the thing. Can you hold back Darian Mensa twice? He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the ACC this season, and you kind of had your best game against him already.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he got sacked on the first play from scrimmage in that one, and that really set the tone for that game. And as I mentioned, I mean, he ended up with 213 passing yards in that game, but that was mostly, it's not entirely garbage time stuff in the second half when the game was way out of reach. It's hard to say that the $7 million quarterback, you can hold him down twice as easily as they did. So, Virginia did move the ball pretty well in that game. They ended up with 34 points, but I think that they left some points on the field in that one with their 540 yards of offense. I mean, that was, the last 2 weeks, Virginia's played its best football of the season. That dominating win at Duke, beating a Virginia Tech team that was only finished 3-9, but beating them the way they did. Tech had played well down the stretch, even in defeat. They'd hung around with Miami for the greater part of that game. They had a lead on Louisville for a lot of that game. That's the Louisville before Louisville had all the rash of injuries. Played Wake well and actually beat Cal, a team that gave Virginia some trouble. So for Virginia to beat Tech the way they did and really the last couple of games, Virginia's playing its best football all season long and, on both sides of the ball. So, if you're going to peak now. They got through that rough stretch where they had to win the games, as you mentioned, Adam, with the defense, a couple of turnovers, pick sixes in the Louisville game, the safety in the Washington State game, another pick six, and the Cal game that sealed the Cal game. But I feel like the offense is playing as well as it has all season long. The defense is great. I think they're ready for this one.
Chris Graham with us here from the Augusta Free Press on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. We've spent too much time of this segment talking about Mensa and not Chandler Morris, to be honest. And the Hoos are going to rely on their playmaker to make plays and win them this game. I think he's got to watch the turnovers. That could cost UVA. But I think this game may come down to Chandler Morris picking and choosing when to run. He's got a few QB keepers in him every game, and it seems like it comes at the biggest moments this season.
Yeah, he's a guy that you got to watch on the read option. I think he only had four carries in the Tech game, but when he does, he had a 16-yard keeper where he's deceptively fast. I mean, not just quick or whatever else you say about a quarterback. He outran the Tech defensive line and their linebackers and a safety around the edge on a 16-yard run in the third quarter on a scoring drive. Of course, he had that incredible cutback run on the touchdown on that drive. A running back quality kind of guy. I think he might be as healthy as he's been. He got injured in the first week when he tried to run in a long touchdown against Coastal Carolina, got met at the goal line, injured his left shoulder. He's been playing with a bum left shoulder most of the season. There was a play in that Tech game where he kind of ducked his shoulder on a third and one, and it made you think, okay, he's not doing that with that bum shoulder. He might be feeling pretty good right now. So yeah, his ability both on design runs and scrambles, you got to keep an eye on him from, maybe keep a spy on him, which takes a guy out of the passing defense game. With those receivers and of course with the running game, Jamari Taylor and Harrison Whaley and what they've been able to do, Virginia is not one-dimensional, and so but Morris, yeah, you're right, his feet are the key to that because he makes you stay honest both on the design runs but also on the scrambles.
How big is this game for the community? I know UVA is such a basketball school, but it's got to be the biggest game in 5 years, definitely the biggest game of the Tony Elliott era.
I've been a UVA guy since I was a little kid. This is the biggest game ever. I was in the stadium as a first-year student in 1990 for number one Virginia playing Georgia Tech, a team that eventually won the national championship that year. This game is bigger than that one because it's a chance to get into the playoff. That Virginia-Georgia Tech game was like week 7 or week 8 of that season. So this is a chance to get into a playoff in this hyper-competitive era that we're in. And a chance to play some really meaningful football. I mean, you might be going to an SEC or a Big 12 school on the road for a first-round playoff game in a couple of weeks if you win Saturday night. It's also big for the ACC. The ACC might get shut out of the playoff if Duke wins. Duke is not going to be ranked ahead of a group, either of the next two group of five champions that would be out there. And, you know, we might be able, if Virginia's able to win this game, might be able to help carry Miami across the line as an at-large, as weird as that might seem to say. So it's a big game for the ACC. It's a huge game for Virginia and the fan base. And so, oh, man, you know, I'm already, the goosebumps are already starting to gather here.
Yeah. Say that again, though. I mean, biggest game for UVA football history?
I think so, yeah. And again, I was in the stadium for number one versus Georgia Tech. And, you know, but, you know, this is for a legitimate playoff berth. And I really think that this Virginia team can win a playoff game. I mean, if they can get past Duke, and you got to get there first. They can get past Duke. I think they can go on the road and beat one of those schools. I don't know about how far they can go from there, but you know, it's just this is the thing. This Virginia program has been down for so long, and so you know to be able to play themselves into a position for a playoff. Oh man, you know, and this era is a lot tougher than the 1990s. Those teams were really talented teams. They had a lot of NFL guys on those George Walsh era teams. But the era now is so competitive. And for Virginia to come from where they were the last 3 years, the first 3 years of the Tony Elliott era, where he won 11 games combined in three seasons, to be 10-2 right now, it just shows how quickly you know, they've been able to get things turned around.
What's going to be interesting is where UVA will be seated if they win against Duke in the ACC title game. If the committee was smart, they would give Virginia the respect and also admit that Chandler Morris was out in their most recent defeat. I mean, if they had won that game, they'd be pushing Notre Dame for the 9 spot right now with the same 10-2 record. So I know the committee's not going to give them respect or the ACC the respect this year, but I think that the way UVA's playing, you could say they should be number 8 or number 9 in the rankings.
I'm with you there, yeah. If you know, if they'd have beaten Wake Forest, and certainly they played most of that game without their starting quarterback, if you're 11-1 and then win this week in 12-1, yeah, you know, that would be a very different story than what we're talking about now. I will say this, you know, thinking about past years when I've, you know, broken down NCAA tournament, you know, the basketball tournament fields, you always find a couple of matchups where teams are underseeded and you say, man, you know, that number 5 seed got, you know, got the raw end of the deal having to play that number 12 seed. That's why there's always those 12-5 upsets in the first round or something like that. You know, I would not want to be the 6 seed having to play an 11 seed Virginia. That would not be a nice gift for me, having played all season long. If you're Ole Miss and you're 11-1, if you're, you know, Texas Tech and you're 11 or 12-1, and you've got to play now, you're giving me the ACC champion here. This is not a reward for our season either. So it's not just that it will be kind of screwing Virginia; it would be messing with the other side as well.
Yeah, great stuff, Chris. Always appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, thanks, Adam.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. In that meaningless Week 18 game in Philadelphia. I don't want him to end the season injured. And I don't see really any reason to play him in that one. Those three games are important in terms of quick turnaround. December 14th, Giants. Quick turnaround to the Eagles. 5 days later, Christmas against the Cowboys. And the divisional games, although they aren't important for this season, I think they're crucial for Jaden to get a win under his belt against the Cowboys, to look good and perform well against his divisional opponents, and those are going to be the games that you count on winning next season. Time for the Commander's Corner here on AWOD Radio as we look at the most popular Commander's comments online, and there are still people buzzing about the catch made by Treylon Burks. It was an insane catch. It's going to be a catch of the year nominee. It was probably the best Sunday night football catch of the season. Odell Beckham gave him a shout out, 13, making 13 plays. I mean, it was like one of those are you kidding me moments. My perspective watching it was, no, they're not going to throw a fade route. Oh my God, I can't believe he caught that. And it was Odell Beckham light. It was a one-handed thing of beauty. It's the most talked about thing online for Commanders fans right now. And I think you take the question a step further and you ask, well, how much is Treylon Burks part of this team's future now moving forward? I think he has to be part of your future plans. He is a guy that Dan Quinn talked about that has been aggressive in the locker room, telling the coaches how much he wants this opportunity and how much he's going to make the most of it. I thought because it was in a losing effort, but we didn't talk about it enough. Like, what was the deal, Jeremy? Did you hear about this? He, like, broke his finger right before the Dolphins game, played through it, then had surgery, and then played and caught that pass with one finger taped to the other finger because he had just had the surgery.
Yeah, I'd only seen that from the tweet that Ian Rappaport had put out after the fact. So yeah. they put that under wraps. I'm a big Treylon Burks fan. I think he has a lot of potential. I loved him coming out of Arkansas.
Yeah, what do you think happened his first few years in Tennessee? Was it simply he was being compared to A.J. Brown?
I think it was a little bit of that. I think it was a lot of injuries. He caught that was his second career touchdown. His first career touchdown he caught, immediately got concussed on that play, and then was never able to stay on the field. He is a really talented receiver. Like I said, he's got that size. You saw he's got the hands. He just made that catch on Sunday Night Football. He was getting targeted a lot by Marcus Mariota. He was getting open. I think there's a lot to like if you can tap into that potential that he had coming out of college.
Yeah, I mean, we say this every year in the NFL. You know, one team's trash is another team's treasure. The Rams felt like they had a treasure in Emmanuel Forbes. Cost them the game against the Panthers. But it feels like now Washington thinks they got an undercover treasure in Treylon Burks, who was drafted by Tennessee, a first-round pick in 2022, where he appeared in 11 games, made just 33 reception for 444 yards and that one touchdown. And then since then, just struggled to stay on the field and struggled to receive a good amount of targets. And I think that's the other thing is, I don't think he's a separation guy. I think he's more of a big catch guy. From what we've seen from here already in Washington in just a three-game sample size, is five catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. And I think of those five catches, three of them have been contested. Like, he is a contested catch guy, kind of similar to Terry McLaurin. And here's the other thing why he has to be in our future plans moving forward, is it was almost like God heard our calling. This was the most desperate team in the NFL for outside receiver help. Deebo Samuel, slot guy. Jalen Lane, slot guy. Luke McCaffrey, slot guy. I mean, the list goes on of all these slot guys here in Washington, and we just didn't have an outside receiver because Noah Brown was injured and Terry McLaurin is injured. And falling into our laps was Treylon Burks. And I just love hearing the coaching staff talk about him because you don't really know what type of person he is, but you hear about his work ethic, and that gets me excited. And I just love taking a shot on a first-round pick that didn't work out somewhere else. And we did that last year with Cleveland Farrell, who was a Richmond kid. Didn't work out, but I love those kind of swings. I love this. And you know what? I'm going to say this right now. All the people trashing Adam Peters for not finding a kicker or for the way he revamped this wide receiver group or that he didn't go out and get another tight end, you have to give him credit for Treylon Burks. Your general manager deserves credit for that. And I think it's kind of quieted the crowd that was all in on Brandon Ayuk coming to Washington. So that's the good. The bad is Ben Sennett. I really like the kid. I had an awesome interview with him at training camp. I'll tell you, my reaction was I thought he kind of sounded like he had a softer voice. I don't know why, but to me that meant something. Dude's like 6'6", right? 300 pounds. I expected him to be like, hey, A-Wad, what do you think? Instead, he wasn't like that. And kind of feel like we've seen that from him. Like, we haven't seen that push of strength from Ben Sennett, that the point where in college he was called Baby Gronk. Like, we need this kid to step up, and he hasn't. And it kind of, it told me all I needed to see when Colson Yankoff was targeted and made a catch for 14 yards on a play that I'm telling you in the past this season it had been designed for Ben Sennett. And I also know the coaching staff was pissed off at the block he made on the corner. Who's the corner on the Broncos? That was Javonte Williams or something like that. It was like one of those guys. He was making plays all game long. There was a screen to Deebo in which Sennett, your tight end, is blocking a corner. You have to hit that block 10 out of 10 in the National Football League. A tight end cannot miss a corner, and he did, and it cost us a play. And then I think after that they kind of decided to cut his playing time and cut his snaps for guys they could trust. And I saw this on social media here as we're doing Commander's comments, and I kind of agree. At best, Ben Sennett turns into John Bates now. But you didn't draft him to be John Bates. You drafted him to be the heir apparent to Zach Ertz, and that hasn't happened. And I also don't think that Zach Ertz, 10 catches for whatever yards, did not quiet Awad's talk about letting him go in the offseason. Let him go back to Philly and retire. You know, here's my thing about Zach Ertz. I really respect him a lot. I think he probably would be a Hall of Famer, right? And I think his family is awesome. If you're a soccer fan, you remember Julie Ertz, her time representing the U.S. Women's National Team. I think your family is awesome. I think he's a super athlete. I think he's brilliant. Like, you have to be smart to go to Stanford. I just think watching the NFL this season, he is not in the top 20 of tight ends. And in almost every game we've played, the other team's tight end has been better. And I didn't think Evan Engram was that good. But you sold the speed difference of Evan Engram versus Zach Ertz, right? And you could go back to almost every game we played this season. The tight ends around the league are just better than Zach Ertz now. It's like, you know, last year was an incredible year for Zach Ertz. This year, they've had a lot more drops and a lot less of the big plays and the big moments. Like, guys like Dalton Schultz and Aronde Gadsden are having much better seasons than Zach Ertz. I think that there's going to be a tight end out there that becomes a free agent that Washington will go after that will end up being an upgrade over Zach Ertz, or at least a guy with more potential. Or maybe you just put both of them out there because you're getting nothing from Ben Sennett. I like what you're getting from Bates, but I think this is the ceiling of John Bates. We need more pass catching tight end. Not even pass catching. We need more guys that can get yak after the catch at tight end. You see how Brock Bowers is a huge difference maker. You see how Tucker Kraft is a huge difference maker. Dalton Kincaid with the Bills. Like, these tight ends out there. Colson Loveland now with Chicago. Dallas Goedert even, who replaced Zach Ertz. They're so much better in the yards after catch category. And that's huge in the NFL. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. We are live and local here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most local sports talk in town. Lane Casadante from CBS 6 will join us to run around local sports in Richmond at 2:30. We'll bring on Matt Shelton-Hyde from VCU Ram Nation to talk VCU hoops coming up next. And what's the latest in Hollywood and entertainment? Well, the big story today for me is that Hard Knocks begins tonight, 9 p.m. on HBO, and it covers the NFC East, the Cowboys, the Eagles, Washington, and the New York Giants. That's the lead story here on Netflix.
Netflix, the best of streaming services, TV, movies, books, podcasts, and more. We've got you covered on Netflix.
So here's something I wanted to bring up on Netflix that I found interesting. Jay Money, it feels like every major company now wants to have a spokesperson, more of a mascot, right? You've got the State Farm guy, right? You've got the Capital One guy, right? Everybody recognizes him now. You've got the Mr. Mayhem, right? Every company's got their own guy, and I just find it so interesting that that's a great gig. If you're a struggling actor and you get that and it goes well, I mean, you're going to get paid for the next 10 years. Like, Mr. Mayhem, my dad always tells me, was like an A-list actor in the 90s. My dad loved this guy. And then he kind of fell off for a little bit. He got this job on Mayhem. He's actually getting jobs again. I saw him in a new movie.
I've never seen him anywhere else.
Every time I see him, I'm like, well, he's about to disrupt something here. My new favorite commercial right now playing is John Travolta taking the reins, and he's flipping back time and turning into Danny Zuko again from Grease Lightning. You seen this commercial? The new Capital One Santa Claus Grease Lightning commercial. I freaking love it. I mean, you can make fun of John Travolta all you want. I think he pulls off the white hair. I think he pulls off Santa Claus very well. He's still got those loose hips that allow him to rock and roll. And it's just, I mean, Grease is timeless. It is still a silly hit. And so you're bringing back Grease, but you're kind of mixing it with the holidays. When you watch the commercial, tell them AWOD sent you. I think you're going to enjoy it. Anything you wanted to bring up on Netflix today, Jeremy?
We're talking commercials here a little bit. Me and my roommate have been watching, whenever we're watching the football games, the one that we've been kind of sticking out to us a little bit has been that Uber Eats commercial, where they're doing that big conspiracy theory with, what's the actor? The Eagles fan. Bradley Cooper.
Yes.
Yeah. Saying that football's there to sell food.
It's a weird commercial.
I'm a big fan of that one.
Are you a horror fan?
I am. I like that one.
The whole thing is like, football is for food. What does he say? Oh, they call it chicken wings or something. Like, it doesn't make much sense, but Uber Eats does good commercials.
They do. Baker's a bread influencer, you know, the Cowboys with lamb and bass and red wine on their team.
You know what commercial's growing on me? It's the Jane Daniels commercial. At first, I hated it because he wasn't playing, right? And then there was the whole controversy. He's throwing his old lineman under the bus. But I kind of love it now when it comes on. He's like, hot, hot, hot. And then the ball snaps to his face. It's kind of a good bit. It's clever. It's growing on me. It really is. Here's a movie I wanted to bring up on Netflix. I watched last night. It is available on HBO Max. It's called Bo is Afraid.
I've heard of that one.
Dude, it is weird. It's one of the weirdest movies ever. It is called a horror comedy. It kept me entertained the whole time. All right, the director is Ari Aster. He's very famous for Midsommar and Hereditary.
Wow.
I haven't seen either of those.
Those are both really good horror movies.
You saw both of them?
Like straight horror movies. Or
yeah.
Like psychological thrillers and stuff.
Bo is Afraid is like that. The only way I can describe Bo is Afraid is you're basically watching a three-hour, it's too long, but a three-hour motion picture of a man who's constantly having a panic attack. And so the whole movie, he's panicking. My girlfriend got like anxiety. She wanted to stop watching. I was just so entertained by it. And then Parker Posey is his love interest. She is such a stud actress. I love her so much. She got famous most recently for her character in White Lotus. But she's been famous for a long time. She was in Dazed and Confused, in Party Girl. She was recently in... she was the bad guy in the robot television show that was on Netflix that was really good. About 8 years ago. What was that called? It was really good. I loved it a lot. It was called, it's going to be Lost in Space.
Yes.
You liked that.
I did.
She was really good in that as the villain, right? But yeah, so she's just been been in all these different things recently, but White Lotus, she was awesome. She is great in Bo is Afraid. So I watched that. Loved it. Loved it. It is so weird. You know what it kind of reminded me of is, have you heard of or seen The Substance?
I have not. I might have heard of it, actually.
So it's a very weird movie where this girl like takes pills to kind of get younger, and it splits her personality. It's just like that, where it's like weird as hell. Weird as hell.
So it's not... When you described it as a comedy horror, the first thing that popped into my mind was Scary Movie or one of those.
Yeah, I don't know why it's called a comedy horror. There's not much comedy in it. I don't get it. I mean, I wasn't laughing. I was entertained. I was not laughing. I was more like, what the hell just happened? And then it keeps happening. It's just so weird. But here's the thing. I love Joaquin Phoenix. He is so good. And it feels like every role he plays is perfect for him, right? Like, you go back to, like, oh my gosh, it's the villain in Gladiator. Like, terrific, right? I thought he was good in Her, even though I didn't like that movie. I think people hate on the Joker. I think he's the greatest actor. I think he's better than Heath Ledger in The Joker.
I wouldn't
like,
go that far.
I really do. I think he's such a weirdo. And in Bo is Afraid, he is such a goofball, like, nervous wreck. And he, like, speaks, like, very softly. And, like, he's always apologizing. Like, he is the character Bo is Afraid. He is a method actor.
He's very good at that.
He's very good at it.
Yeah, no, he's very good at getting a character and, like, being that character.
Now, I have not seen Napoleon, but I heard bad things about his character in that.
Mm.
But besides that, I like almost every other movie Joaquin Phoenix has ever done, including Inherent Vice. Good movie in that.
right. No, yeah. He's very, very talented. He's very talented.
Anything lastly here you wanted to bring up on Netflix?
Netflix here again. I've been working my roommates off of their anime kick right now. Working it off a little bit. So I'm getting them onto just normal cartoons now. It's a step by step process. You know, you got to go one thing at a time.
My goodness, that sounds like a nightmare living situation. Do you get psyched all for a Super Mario Galaxy movie?
No, I mean it's a video game movie. The first Super Mario movie was like.
I didn't think it was that good.
It was fine. It was whatever.
I was expecting it to be a lot better the way it was hyped up.
I had no expectations. It was a Jack Black movie. If you like that movie, you like the Minecraft movie.
Hold on. No. You're not going to throw Jack Black under the bus.
I love Jack Black.
I think he's been taking a paycheck, and his recent movies have been awful. Like Minecraft. He was in the Jumanji remake. They're doing another one. I could be swayed into watching Anaconda. They're remaking Anaconda. Apparently, that's been like a lifelong dream of his. The OG Anaconda is fantastic. Like LL Cool J.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that, dude?
Oh, my goodness. I've not seen the original. I've seen ads for this new one.
Dude, it is good. 1997. I loved the original Anaconda in 1997. So much fun. So we'll see what happens with the remake here. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. The big story in Netflix is that tonight we have HBO's Hard Knocks covering the NFC East. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. Call in if you're enjoying Stranger Things Season 5. Give us your thoughts on that. We'll be right back on the Fan.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.